Hey, Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Eric.
And I'm Ben.
And this is another special bonus episode of The Cast of Us because we can't get to episode 500 yet, so it's a bonus. This episode, as promised, we're talking about what a zombie is and whether The Last of Us qualifies as a zombie show or not. And to help in the discussion, we have a special guest, Mr. Arnold T. Blumberg, who is publisher at ATB Publishing, author of books on zombie cinema like Journey of the Living Dead and Zombie Mania, and instructor of one of the first zombie courses in zombies in popular media at the University of Baltimore in the 2010s. Welcome to the podcast, Arnold.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Actually, when this podcast was called The Walking Dead Cast, you came on, I think it was when George Romero, when he passed, right? To sort of give a tribute
right.
to him, remember that?
Yes, we did the episode about Romero and his legacy and everything. Yeah,
that's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, before we get to the main event, though, I want to mention something that, Eric, you pointed out in our private chat earlier that the, or maybe it was Ben, I forget, that the review embargo on The Last of Us has been lifted and the show has a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes right now after 59 reviews last I checked.
Oh, it's up to 59 reviews already.
That's what, awesome. Yeah.
And, okay. And still at 97, more. Which
that's
is
that's pretty awesome. Yeah. Last I heard it was 26 at 100, so.
Yeah, and an 84, which is qualifies as universal acclaim on Metacritic. So I'm really glad to see that people are digging it. I did not want to read any of the reviews, of course, because I'm trying not to get too spoiled, even though I know the story. But Ben has some of the headlines.
Yeah, I'll read just a couple of these off because there's a lot of them. But for example, Rolling Stone magazine says The Last of Us is a finer version of The Walking Dead and HBO's next big hit.
That's what I was hoping for.
The Daily Beast, it seems that The Last of Us is destined to be HBO's next big blockbuster. It's doubtful any future video game adaptation will be this good.
Oh my gosh.
Man, that's like, that's stellar. Variety says, what works about HBO's The Last of Us works well enough that one sees the near future in which the show winds up among television's best.
Wow.
IndieWire, crafted with meticulous attention to detail and closely following the game story, The Last of Us subtly distinguishes itself from whatever presumptions viewers may bring to it. And then I'll read one more from Collider. The Last of Us is a phenomenal retelling of a story that was already one of the best narratives ever told in a video game.
Damn.
I feel like I've heard that somewhere.
Anytime I hear stuff like that, I have to then ratchet my expectations back down again.
Well, it is going to run on HBO, so now the question is, how soon do they cancel it?
Well, it's not anything Warner Brothers or DC, so it might be pretty safe for a little
while. It might
be
safer, yeah. Just be cautious at this point.
I know. I mean, are you thinking, I mean, they've been really shaking things up lately, and are you thinking about Westworld mostly, or other shows too?
I mean, or just, you know, shelving Batgirl and all the bizarre things they've been doing. It's like, and the thing is, who knows, down the road, like a lot of shows lately, they've also been doing this thing where shows are getting second seasons, they're producing them and then telling them, yeah, but we're not going to run it. That's happened now with another show.
Christ.
I forget the name of it now.
I don't think they're going to do that with this, but famous last words, right? I think as long as it's good, it'll stay on. I think Westworld, the ratings were just plummeting, but the costs were staying the same, you know, so it kind of makes sense.
Well, I mean, the difference with The Last of Us as compared to a show such as Westworld or Game of Thrones or whatever is that, I mean, maybe this is something where they have the idea right from the beginning that, look, we already know season one is going to tell the first game. Season two, maybe we can stretch into two seasons. And then by the game end two, of season two, season three, we're going to wrap it up and that's going to be the end of it. Like they might already have an end point in mind before they even start.
I hope that they go a little beyond that. Like, I know that Neil Druckmann has a third game in mind. Maybe they're already working on it. So it would be awesome to get five seasons.
Yeah.
That's what I would like.
Well, I mean, we've found through shows like Breaking Bad and such that when you put an endpoint on a show, it usually makes your ending better.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going to go and be the outlier then, and I'm hoping for no more than 3 seasons.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, well, if it goes to 5, then you can't be on the podcast.
All right, I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, just for instance, I mean, thinking about this show in particular, Craig Mazin, I mean, we have Chernobyl, and that is just one amazing season.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm totally cool with that.
You know? I want another Chernobyl. No, I'm just kidding.
Chernobyl 2.
They could do the Japanese one or whatever, Fukushima.
Oh,
I mean, look, there was a rumor for a while they were actually going to make a second Titanic movie.
Oh my
basically
God.
Just the, it was the same events, but just retold from other characters, which no, who's to say you couldn't do that with The Last of Us, except you lose a lot of what those characters are and how important they are to that story.
I mean, nobody wants to see a zombie show be spun off into some other random things that's with these lame. Random people you don't care about. Who wants to
tell
see
the
that?
Same story over and over and
for
over
11
again.
Seasons?
I mean, if you put a beer balloon in it, people might tune in. You never know.
I'm just saying, if Neil Druckmann has a great idea for a third story, and it is great, then it'd be a shame if they don't have it in the show, you know?
I think ultimately what you're all saying too, and I certainly feel this way lately too, is it's smart at least for any show going in to have an end game planned and to not play that game of, well, we have a vague idea, but it's no, you should go in planning to tell your story. If you get more, that's great. If another opportunity comes up to extend it, that's great. But treat your audience with respect. Have a story with a beginning, middle, and end, and aim for that, and that will win people over for a long time to come, for rewatching as well.
Yeah, it'll leave the series with a good feeling in people's minds, like with Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, absolutely.
I'll go ahead and say this also. I think what we don't need any more of, and I'm willing to say this, Jason, we don't need any more of J.J. Abrams' mystery box.
Exactly.
I know how you feel. I think we're past it. We're done with that. And give us a nice, concise story. The English have taught us well.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you look at Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power as well. I mean, they said before the show even started, look, we're giving you 5 seasons. It's 5 and we're done.
Yeah.
So
I feel like we're all afraid to get to the point of this podcast because we don't want to fight.
I'm not necessarily afraid because I'll stand up for what I believe in. Nothing against Arnold, but I feel like Jason brought Arnold in as a ringer for
no
him.
Way. I would never do that. Arnold's my buddy.
Right. It's whatever you want to think is fine. I mean, there's the truth that's the actual fact, and then there's just whatever you want to believe.
That's right. That's
and now
saying.
This
that's
is where you start losing me right there.
Yeah. Eric and I are getting ganged up kidding, on already. Kidding.
Okay, so before we get into the main event, I will say one more thing. A bunch of you guys sent in your Last of Us zombie/infected, whatever you want to call it, sounds. So please stay tuned to the end and I will play a bunch of those. You also sent in your opinions on this whole argument that we're about to have, and we'll be reading those and responding to it too. So it's going to be fun. I will just also say, I think by the end of this that we will, none of us will have changed our minds, but hopefully it will be a really fun discussion.
Tune in for the first episode of The Last of Us with 2 new hosts.
Arnold and Rima. Rima
said it best in our chat, play well, boys.
Okay, so we are going to, so we're moving into the next segment, is The Last of Us a zombie show? First off, I want to warn you guys, we will be talking about the nature of the creatures in The Last of Us. Aside from that, let's not spoil anything else. But if you don't want to know about the nature of the creatures, mostly how they came to be, what they are, then you should skip this, because that's what we're going to be talking about. And I'm about to say that right now. So now's your chance to turn it off. So the premise of The Last of Us is that a mutant cordyceps fungus spreads across the United States. Is it in other countries too? I don't even know.
I would assume.
We don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it's ever discussed.
And then it makes humans into mindless, aggressive, and murderous beings. This is based on the actual fungus, the Ophiocordyceps unilateralis, commonly known as the zombie ant fungus, that turns ants into basically suicidal receptacles of spores to propagate the fungus. And mostly I thought this topic would be interesting because way back when Eric and I, when you and I did the review of The Last of Us game, which I just republished in this feed, I think, yep, Eric, you made a point to say that they're not zombies technically. And also whenever someone in our Patreon group includes 28 Days Later or something like that in a list of zombie movies, Ben, you always come in and say, you know, that's not actually a zombie movie. So I thought maybe you two could start off and tell us why The Last of Us does not have zombies in it.
Do you want to start, Eric? You want me to start?
No, you go ahead. I think you feel a little more strongly about this than
I mean,
do.
I've always been of the firm belief that a zombie is something, and I know it's been argued before that undead is not actually a thing, and, you know, I've always been under the impression, basically throughout my entire life in pop culture, is that a zombie has to be something that has been brought back to life. So in my opinion, that's why I constantly defend my point that 28 Days Later, 28 Weeks Later are not zombie films. The characters that are in there, the creatures that are in there, are not necessarily creatures. They're human beings. They are still very much alive. They're just infected with a disease that makes them ravenous. It makes them wild. It kind of takes them back to primal beings. And I feel like, as someone who has played both Last of Us, Last of Us Part 2 multiple times, has watched playthroughs of the game, and is excited for the series, I think what we are getting in this as well, I think kind of qualifies as the same thing. These are people that are infected, and every creature that we're seeing is a different degree of that infection.
Mm-hmm. But never died.
They never actually die until they're killed off by Joel or Ellie, yeah, or anybody.
And then they're dead
them.
For good.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. That once you kill these people, it's... you know, they don't come back. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you could shoot them in the chest, shoot them in the head, whatever, as long as their body gives out, such as when you would do that to a normal human being, they're dead. That's it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wonder, now that you're talking about this, I don't know if in the game it's ever said, get him in the brain. I would imagine getting him in the brain would kill him faster.
Yes, but you can kill them. They don't have to have their brain obliterated. Right. You can just take out their body. And I was actually going to mention that as well, as far as a differentiation maybe between what we think of as the quote-unquote classic zombie, which, you know, is still a relatively new thing. And we can go back to the, you know, West African curare Haitian thing, as far as like Serpent in the Rainbow kind of thing with the original zombie, and then getting into the Romero zombie, and then a bit of an evolution of this thing. And then, of course, as we just said, beginning with 28 Days Later, this idea of just infected, I think, really took hold. At that point, the differentiation being fast, you know, that was a huge difference at the time. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, something like 28 Days Later, at the end, it is resolved ultimately by them starving.
Right.
They let the infected just starve and die. Right. That's not going to happen with a zombie. It's still going to crawl around without its entrails hanging out, you know. World War Z, you just have a hand there with the hand twitching and moving with nothing else there. It's like, oh, that's freaking cool. That's a zombie. You know, it's a hand. But I don't think you see that with infected, necessarily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Necessarily. Because I'm gonna put a big caveat on that, because I have a feeling we might be seeing some things that are... jive with any of our definitions.
You mean in types of creatures?
Yeah.
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 Okay, well, I think The Last of Us is a zombie show. I have a few reasons why. One of the main ones is, I think it's interesting that Romero has shaped what our idea of zombie is with Night of the Living Dead. For one, they weren't even called zombies in that. They were called ghouls. But that's the undead concept is really strong in that. But there have been zombie movies going way, way back before that. And the definition of zombie has always included various types of beings, including undead ones. And people started to think of the Night of the Living Dead ones. But I know there are examples of non-undead zombies before that. Right, Arnold?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, what's happened again? First of all, it's like you can pick whatever you want that you like. I mean, the thing is, that's one of the key elements for me is you can say you like a particular approach and you prefer to call that approach a zombie. And if you say, oh, I like zombie movies, when I say that, I mean this is what a zombie is to me. That's fine, because you can have an opinion about whatever you like. What you can't say, however, is that they're not zombies, because it doesn't matter what you think they're, because they are, in as much as they're this another creature under that umbrella term, along with tons of others. You can like them or dislike them, but they're there. And like he was just saying, the whole thing, and Eric actually, I think, was the one who mentioned it first. This whole thing started really with Western culture appropriating African and Haitian folklore and tradition. So in a sense, you could also argue that as four white guys here, none of us have any right to say what a zombie is or isn't. But I'll be happy to talk about it, you know. But the thing is, it all began with the tradition of living people being possessed by a Bokor, a Haitian, voodoo doctor, and channeling the spirits of the dead or channeling the gods. They were living people who had lost free will, who were used as automatons, robotic, unable to function as themselves, shambling around, and either channeling the words of the gods or channeling the memories of their dead family, their spirits, living people. And if you go back to the earliest zombie movies, White Zombie, I Walked with a Zombie, all these great classics, the Val Lewton movie, 47 movies with John Carradine in it, Revenge of the Zombies, most of them feature living people who are enslaved, enthralled. And really, that's where it all starts from anyway. It's all metaphors for enslavement. And then things started changing, and you got movies in the 50s like Plan 9 and Invisible Invaders, where corpses were brought back, in both cases in those, by aliens. And they were puppeteered, like the zombies that people had seen in the 30s and 40s. So they called them that. But they're not zombies. They're ghouls. They're reanimated corpses, revenants, million other terms if you want to use them. And then along comes Romero. He does his movie about ghouls, you know, the reanimated dead, where he was drawing more from folklore that involved demonically possessed corpses, but he changed it and made it radiation from space and then denied that that's what he meant. And really, the evil dead are the ghouls, demonically possessed corpses. Nothing that involves something that has to be dead and comes back is a zombie. That's all something we made up, because one reviewer in a magazine in 1968 said, those zombies in that George Romero movie are really interesting. And he was thinking about I Walked with a Zombie, White Zombie, all the movies he remembered where people walked like that, but were living. And after that, even Romero himself said, well, it's stuck, and we just started saying zombie, and that's fine. Now we all call them zombies. So the idea of something having to be dead to be a zombie and coming back from death is itself an addition that we created. But, you know, you can pick whatever version of this now umbrella term you like and say, this is the take on that character that really speaks to me, or that says something that entertains me, or, you know, conveys a message. And that's great. But they all fit in that term, because ultimately the term itself has been bastardized to cover the dead or the undead.
Cover everything.
You know, in biological evolution, we would talk about lumpers and splitters, you know, people who want to lump things together under a bigger heading, like zombie, and then splitters who want to break it apart. I think, Ben, you and I may be a little more of the splitters who want to break most things likely into a little bit more. Oh my God, I just lost my train of thought 100%. That was hilarious.
If you're a lumper or a splitter and you have the original definition of the zombie is not undead, then you're kind of lumping in Romero's that weren't even called zombies with that. Or no, you're splitting that and making that you're making that the new definition.
And I think you are under the whole, I do think that, yes, you could say, I'm going to go ahead and make this concession here. Yes, you can say these things are all under a heading of zombie, whether it is 28 Days Later or even The Last of Us. But
and that's it for our episode today. Thank you, everybody, for listening.
Well, see, that's when you
I'm just kidding. I don't want to cut Eric off.
When you asked me in the first place, I thought, well, this is easy. We say, yes, it is, and we just all go home.
No. But this... But I honestly, I will say my any usage of zombie-esque, let's say, if I'm talking about The Last of Us or if I am talking about 28 Days Later, I find that it's very, very useful to convey what it is to somebody who may be suffering zombie fatigue over the last 10 yeah, plus years.
That's a good point.
That I feel it's a good way if you're talking about somebody. If you say, oh, it's a zombie show, honestly, mm-hmm. I found you'll get a lot of that look of just, oh, okay, another one. All right.
Absolutely.
Right. And I did see that as well, you know, when a lot of these outlets started saying like, oh, like the newest zombie show that's coming out, you know, a lot of things like comments on Facebook or social media were like, oh, great, Walking Dead ended. Now we're like, we're just moving on to yet another zombie. Yeah.
And I think like what we can say, like we tie it together with what we were just saying about Romero. He created something new. It was amazing. We kind of redefined these things. And I feel like 28 Days Later did that too. And it did redefine. It gave us Fast. It gave us this, gave us that, all these different things. And it was, for the first time, we had something that was kind of like not this nebulous radiation from space or some virus or some chemical spill. And we're actually Return of the Living Dead is probably one of the more concise ones as to how it happened. But with 28 Days Later, you have rage. You see rage being created in these chimps with anger, blah, blah, blah. You get this wonderful, concise little reason as to what this is. Yeah. Same thing with The Last of Us. We know exactly what it is, and it just takes on a different flavor for me than, I hate to say it, just vanilla zombie. It becomes, I don't know, zombie with sprinkles.
Like Walking Dead, you don't even know what the cause was.
We still don't know. Yeah. Exactly. And that's cool. That's very cool. Yeah, that's I've got cool no that. Beef with that. But that to me is like, okay, zombie, totally mindless, guts hanging out, you know.
The problem too, like you're saying, in terms of differentiating it for an audience that might be put off, is that it has become so wide an umbrella term that it's too difficult to nail it down. So you got like these creatures in Last of Us, and like you were saying, I think you're already saying, it's like they're, as far as you could tell, they're living until the moment that they're destroyed. So you're not dealing with undead. You're not dealing with corpses at all. You're dealing with living people. And frankly, I would myself, if like we used to get hit, and Jason probably remembers too, like at the conventions, there would always be the thing that was a 28 Days Later count. And my like boilerplate answer was always absolutely 28 Days Later counts, because if the original zombie was a living human being, impelled by magic or voodoo or, you know, whatever spiritual power, replace that spiritual power with rage virus and you have the 28 Days Later creature or person. That's a zombie. It's just, you then start picking, what I used to say was there's a critical mass of factors that starts to come in. And some of those factors aren't even about the person you're talking about. It's about the environment. So, for instance, you say Last of Us is a zombie story. Well, that's because people look at it and they go, okay, post-apocalyptic world where all the buildings have grass growing in them and everybody is shooting each other.
Your grandma's trying to eat you.
It's a wonderful shorthand.
It's shorthand. And the creatures themselves are mutants. They're like mutated.
Yeah. And like that's so I totally like what you just said, Eric, about wanting to differentiate it to make it more fresh and exciting. But
thank you. That's the podcast.
We're done. Like, I think that's what Danny Boyle and also Neil Druckmann, they wanted to make a zombie story, but a new fresh type of zombie story.
The one thing I will say I dislike about Danny Boyle, though, is that if you're going to choose to tell a story within a certain genre or a certain kind of narrative, you can't behave as if you're embarrassed or angry about the world you've chosen to tell your story in. And he was so adamant about saying, I'm not doing a zombie movie. It's like, well, I'm sorry, but you are.
Well, he's actually called them zombies at times.
He's changed. Yeah, he's changed. He he's gotten a lot softer about it.
But I think both of them are fans of traditional zombie stories, but they wanted to do a new zombie story for a new age. In fact, the origin of The Last of Us is when Neil Druckmann was in a computer programming class at Carnegie Mellon in 2004, got the assignment to pitch a zombie story, and he pitched The Last of Us. That was his zombie story. And so I just want to take my turn now to talk about another point, which is just the zombie movie genre. Like, to me, a zombie movie is a subgenre of the horror movie. And there's lists of the best zombie movies. And to me, if you've got a list of the best, I mean, you go look, you Google best zombie movies, 28 Days Later is going to be on almost every single list that you look at. And to have some, sorry guys, but to be honest, like comic book guy from The Simpsons going, technically, they're not actually zombies. It doesn't really add anything to the conversation. It's just kind of like, insulted. Whatever. And in that, sorry, and in that Hollywood Reporter article that came out about The Last of Us, it was called, you know, the new zombie show or whatever. And even Craig Mazin, the showrunner, referred to them as zombies in the article. So I just think at a certain point, it's fun to talk about whether they technically are or not, but there is something about the zombie genre and the zombie story, whether they're undead or not, I don't think is crucial. The main point is that your grandma's going to eat you. You know, that's the main point, that this person who is your friend somehow suddenly changed into a mindless cannibal. That's what it is for me.
And like I was saying, it also comes with a certain number of preconceptions. Sometimes that's good and bad. You know, like we're saying, that people might pigeonhole it, but it also means that you work in that, you know, you work in that environment. Maybe you're at a point now where you can pick and choose. Okay, maybe I don't want to do reanimated corpses. I want to do a living person, but I want it to be within that general storytelling world, mm-hmm. because that's the kind of story I want to tell. So we'll make it post-apocalyptic and we'll make them cannibalistic, but they're living, but they're also mutated, but this is a virus, but this.
Yeah.
And it's like, but really what you're doing is you're using it as a collection of metaphors to talk about whatever social, cultural, political, other issues you want. And that, I think, is the key, that when someone says zombie show, usually that also tells people, this is not about the thing it looks like it's about.
It's about the people.
Yeah. It's about the characters and the story and their relationships and what that's going to show us about humanity.
Humanity.
And that's what makes it.
And I'm thinking about it very much along those same lines. And I'll talk about, like, again, the evolution of this idea tends to be piggybacked off of cultural fears, right? You've got your Dracula in a time of syphilis. You got your Frankenstein's monster.
That's a good
in
title,
a time,
by the way.
Of fear. Of, you got Frankenstein's monster in a time of, you know, fear of science and these kind. Which Frankenstein, is he a zombie? I don't know. Maybe. Then you got zombies with the space. Yeah, I know. The space maybe. Radiation, all this. But now infected, you get to this point. What is more fearful in this time and age than fear of a virus or an infection of something like a cordyceps fungus that's out of control, you know? Yeah. So I don't know, in some way I feel like the name may be changing a bit, but yes, the metaphor is still there. It's still the same thing, tapping into this primal fear that we all have of a particular time in our culture. And right now, being infected, we all feel that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, going back to the point that was made earlier about how, you know, when you look at a zombie feature, whether it's a television series or a movie or whatever, it's almost, when you look back at all of them, it's almost always more about the people than it is about the actual creature.
Oh, yeah.
I think the only example I can think of where that's not the case is the film Warm Bodies. Because that is literally
about. And that's, like, to me, that's, like, bordering on not being zombies, even though they clearly are. But what I'm a big zombie fan. I don't know if you guys knew that, but I like zombie shows and movies.
I never picked up on it.
There's a couple things I really like about it, and I mean the main one is just the idea that your loved one can suddenly just and then turn on you, and that's what all these have in common. I also love the image of the hand coming up from the grave, so I do like the undead aspect of some zombie stories, but really the crux of it for me is just that your friends can suddenly become murderous cannibals. And
The crux is the beginning, that opening scene of 2004's Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. Yeah, that's the crux. That loved one.
That's my favorite zombie movie. Yeah,
mine too.
It's a good choice. I still remember and still talk about on a regular basis, at least every couple months, I tell someone again about how I remember when that was coming out, USA Network ran the first 15 minutes on television right up to the credits, and they ran it as a preview. Uncut with no commercial interruption, and it was one of the coolest things I'd ever seen. They just ran that whole opening with all the blood and everything.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I thought, this is amazing. And that opening is one of the most solid action movie openings of all time.
Yeah, the lady standing there in front of her house with her coffee cup. when the guy just goes out. I love that. One of my favorite little moments. I'm like, oh,
it's just fantastic.
It was all downhill for Zack Snyder after that.
The original Dawn of the Dead is one of my all-time favorite.
No, not really.
The original Dawn of the Dead is one of my all-time favorite zombie movies, and I was very skeptical about a remake, especially with Zack Snyder, because I'm not a huge fan of Zack Snyder.
Well, but back then he hadn't done anything.
He did a Subaru commercial.
Was that all he had done before?
It's actually in Dawn of the Dead. He has a Subaru commercial in
there. You can see his commercial on the television.
But I do remember being very blown away by that movie, and I still I love that movie now.
Yeah,
but I want to watch it again right now. Back to, I want to bring this up, and this might sound like a really weird comparison, but you know, with everything that we've been talking about with zombie, what classifies as one, if you kind of eliminate the undead element and rely more on something that brings, I guess, maybe makes him autonomous or automaton, as you had mentioned earlier, Arnold. What, and Eric, you kind of brought this idea to my head when you mentioned, jokingly mentioned Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Would that technically mean that werewolves would classify as zombies?
I would never have thought that. And I mean, I'd be happy to have the argument with somebody, I guess, but I would never have thought that because
they're
like, I mean, again, you can. There are a million different versions of that too. Really, when you start to look at, like, you know, what it is from the classic Universal stuff. And I've been watching a lot more werewolf movies lately than I ever used to, and it's so many different takes. I saw Ginger Snaps again for the first time in years.
I smell a book.
This is maybe if I were younger, but all these kind of things. But I would argue that one of the, again, it's like you zero in on key elements. Well, what are some of the key elements? Well, for a zombie, to me, one of the key elements is the person is no longer in control of their own body. And the werewolf, maybe they lose their humanity.
They lose
their personality. Yeah, inhibitions. But really, it's more a case of acting on their most primal self. And I wouldn't necessarily assume they've lost control, like they're a puppet, because it's still them. It's just their inner primal animalistic self that's in control.
Not quite mindless.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, you could probably make the argument. And frankly, the simple thing for Frankenstein's monster for me always was, that was one of the lines we drew when we were doing the first book, which is, we decided if something was made up of individual parts, it didn't count as a zombie. Because it's multiple people put together, a zombie would have to be an individual. Although I say that in Bride of Reanimator, he makes zombies out of parts, and I count that. So,
But I mean, I think with the werewolf argument too, I think, again, just like with zombie, depending on what you're looking at, whether it's, you know, with zombie, we're comparing either Romero or, you know, 28 Days Later from Danny Boyle. I think werewolf would kind of, and I'm not trying to turn this into a whole thing like, well, werewolves absolutely are zombies.
No, this part of your argument, know, why zombies should be undead, because otherwise werewolves are zombies. So I think what we've come to the conclusion is that werewolves are zombies. Okay, let's
go. No, I'm saying it all. I think it depends on, what version that you're watching. I mean, if you're looking at a movie like Ginger Snaps, they are very much in control. They still have, you know, they're not completely mindless. They just go back to their primal instincts. But if you look at a movie kind of like The Monster Squad, where they bring in the Wolfman, he is very much a puppet to Dracula. When he does not, when he transforms into the werewolf, he loses all control. He is in no sense of control whatsoever.
An American werewolf.
In that aspect, he's very much zombie-esque.
An American werewolf in London, there's nothing, no human in there. It's just wolf.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess the difference is that another aspect of what makes the zombie a zombie, one of the reasons why we use that term for all these different creatures, is that there is some element of essential humanity still visible or evident that leads us to the very kind of fear that, Jason, some of you are bringing up, which is that horrible fear of, it can be your own friend or family that turn against you. Once you're dealing with something like a werewolf, it has visually transformed so much, and it's an animal. It's clearly an animal. It's not some kind of other thing, that you lose that one-to-one connection with a human. Now, I say that, and that brings us back to the topic of this podcast, because these creatures in The Last of Us, the further along you go, they're the less human they look.
Yeah.
The less recognizable they are.
Yeah. And when you get to the bloaters and even maybe the clickers.
Or even the clickers,
they
right.
seem less like zombies to me.
Would I argue that the further they go, the more I'd be willing to say, well, now they don't even qualify as zombie, they qualify as some other kind of monster? I think yes, because to me, one of the key elements for a zombie is if you're still recognizing your friends and family in that face or in that body, that's part of the fear. These creatures are on the periphery. Uh-huh. Of what I'd put under that umbrella term. And I think the reason why we're calling it, or some people are calling it a zombie show, are so many of the other elements. The post-apocalyptic setting, the social exploration akin to things like The Walking Dead.
Yeah. And if you look at a game series like Resident Evil, it's mm-hmm. similar. There's clearly zombies in Resident Evil, but there are also other creatures that yes. I would not consider yes. zombies.
Left well, Eric, dead. You heard them. They said yeah. that they don't qualify as zombies. So, end of the podcast.
It's a compromise. The runners the stalkers are zombies. The clickers and the bloaters are not.
I was beginning to get a little confused here. So, are vampires? They sparkle and werewolves. Wait, yes. So do zombies sparkle now in the sun? I'm really confused. I think we got really deep.
No, but
in this
they
hole.
Fall in love and can be cured from romantic.
I think
from Rob Corddry. Yes. Rob Corddry can cure it. Rob Corddry.
That we could keep on talking and have a even more fascinating discussion. But I've loved this discussion, and we're all still friends. So I say we move on.
I think we're going to get into some letters here.
Yeah. Yay.
I think it's a nice compromise. I mean, and there were a lot of, I will definitely say, as somebody who's always thought of zombies as undead, there's been a lot of bright points that have been brought up in this conversation.
Yeah.
And, you know, the takeaway is that if we qualify 28 Days Later as zombie films, which is more than reasonable, then Wolfman is also a zombie. We'll move on.
All right, let's move on. Well, that's our Wolfman are zombies. Okay, next.
The greatest story ever told, zombie film.
All right, let's move on. This will be the last time you might ever hear this to listener moans, groans, and grunts. I say that because we did get some snarls, screams, and clicks from you guys, which are awesome. I've not yet had time to put that into a new intro, but that'll be in our first podcast covering the first episode. So you'll hear that on the next podcast. But after we finish reading these, I'll just play the raw audio of what people sent in. So shall we start in with the listener feedback? Arnold, as our guest of honor, would you like to go first?
Okay. Nathan Moaz, I believe, forgive me if I mispronounced it, says, I think zombies for me have to be at least somewhat human-like and have to have originated as living people, regardless of how they became human-eating monsters. If they're just dangerous creatures that aren't like people at all, then I wouldn't call them zombies. That being said, as long as the film or show is in the post-apocalyptic survival genre, then I'll probably still love it. For example, I love The Road and A Quiet Place, both of which are post-apocalyptic survival films that don't necessarily have zombies.
That's pretty close to what we said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ben?
Sure. Nathan Eshelman, I just call them infected. They're still alive, but mutated by a fungal infection. I see it more like an apocalyptic level of rabies. I've never really heard anyone call Cujo a zombie. That's a good point. And this infection doesn't bring back the dead. I also just like the idea that there's a mindless group of infected that I don't have to put through a Romero filter in my brain. Mm-hmm. I also accept that zombie has taken on multiple meanings over time. Beyond the undead, they're a metaphor for consumerism, mindless consumption, and really any entity that shambles through life without introspection. I don't have a strong opinion on what other people call them. If the cast of us casually throws around the Z word, I won't raise an eyebrow. At the end of the day, it depends on your perceived definition of what a zombie is.
Nice.
Now all I can do is think about Cujo being a zombie. And that makes all the sense. That's Stephen King's zombie movie, and I love it. Okay. Next here we have Cat Craft. Oh, Cat, adore you. I love it. Been waiting for this debate between you and Ben. Adding Eric. Even better.
Nice. Thanks, Cat. Wendy Oddapper says, if people think it's a zombie movie, it's a zombie movie. To me, 28 Days Later, I Am Legend, World War Z, all in the zombie genre. That's what I think, yeah.
Wendy's nailed it. Wyman Owen says, I'd have to be on the side of not. Why do I keep getting to read these? All right. I'd have to be on the side of not. With The Last of Us, you get infected either from a bite or spores of the virus. Then you turn. You don't die. With The Walking Dead, I still think it's a virus that when bitten, it kills you. Then you turn into a zombie walker. I like that you call The Last of Us infected zombie-esque, as the qualities are similar. I just think that to be called a zombie, you gotta die first. While that may be incorrect, it's still a very nice argument.
Wyman's my new best friend.
Kelly Burgess, I think since there are multiple definitions of the word, it can be represented differently. I think they could be called zombie or infected because both could be accurate. Noun, now she gives it, she pasted the definition. Yeah. Noun, here. Zombie, plural noun, zombies. One, a corpse said to be revived by witchcraft, especially in certain African and Caribbean religions. In popular fiction, a person or reanimated corpse that has been turned into a creature capable of movement but not of rational thought, which feeds on human flesh, a world overrun by zombies. The informal definition, a person who is or appears lifeless, apathetic, or completely unresponsive to their surroundings.
That's my brother.
And the philosophical definition, a hypothetical being, that responds to stimulus as a person would, but that does not experience consciousness. A computer controlled by another person without the owner's knowledge and used for sending spam or other illegal or illicit activities. Apparently, it's also a drink. A tall mixed drink consisting of several kinds of rum, liquor, and fruit juice. I love it.
So you included yep. that. That's
nothing in The Last of Us is that.
No.
No. Okay.
Maybe in the show. We'll see. We'll see.
Maybe. Yeah, actually, you know, maybe Frank and Bill have a lovely little cocktail.
Right.
Steve Barr says, I think the breakdown is zombies are the slow, mindless, shambling creatures of old, and fast-moving monsters are fundamentally something else, however entertaining content with them may be. Zombies are more than just creatures. They're a metaphor for mindless behavior, inevitability, etc. Fast monsters, monsters throwing spore balls or whatever, don't fit. Maybe we need a general term for humans taken over that aren't classic zombies. Maybe reanimated or inhabited. Well, perhaps. Or maybe no. I'll throw in and say, you know, if you said classic zombie, how about new zombie?
I don't want to have Sorry, a new... I don't want to have a new. Yeah, I get it. Which one tastes better? I don't know.
Yeah.
You don't really want to eat them. They eat you. I don't like the idea of having a new term. That's another thing. It's like, damn, they're zombies. Come on. Everybody knows what we're talking about when you say
Yeah,
that.
They're infected. Everybody knows what we're talking about.
Infected. We'll be calling them that a lot and zombie-esque, I'm sure. Greg Schwamm says, yes, I asked the question, should The Last of Us be called a zombie show? Yes, to me, a zombie is a person who used to be someone's son, daughter, husband, wife, who no longer recognizes those emotions and connections and operates by gut instinct, typically trying to eat other humans. So in my mind, yes. There may be, quote, socially acceptable zombies, so they may not qualify, but to me, absolutely.
Back to me with Carolyn.
Another no.
My vote is tech. Oh, come on. I'm walking off. Okay. My vote is technically no. When you look at the history of zombies going back to origins in places like Haiti, Africa, South America, etc., it all centered around the idea of corpses that are revived or reanimated by an external supernatural force of some kind. No. For it to truly be a zombie, by definition, the individual has to be dead. Philosophically, though, we've come to accept some alternative definitions. People may be described as zombies when their internal life is no longer rich and active, or when they've lost their capacity for free will, or when people operate to seek a key need or desire, or are severely lacking in a key need or desire, desire for certain narcotics, lack of sleep, etc. Zombies lack the ability to reason, have higher thought processes, and to exercise free will, which is arguably what we see in movies and shows dealing with infected, who are technically still alive like 28 Days Later and The Last of Us. Are they physically zombies? No. Are they functionally zombies? Absolutely. So that's a yes then, Carolyn. By the way, just a quick note, is everybody still to this day always talks about how 28 Days Later... invented fast-moving zombies, and that drives me nuts because the fast zombies first appeared in Nightmare City in 1980 and Return of the Living Dead in 1985.
Ooh, nice.
So they didn't invent anything on that score.
I've never even really I've never made the definitive argument that fast zombies are not zombies. To me, it's always the because World War Z, they are absolutely definition zombies. Right.
Yes,
but they're fast. So
yeah,
you know, the fast has never bothered me. It's the undead versus living.
We may. I'm sorry to derail. We may be having this debate right now about the things we were disagreeing on, or we're only partially disagreeing on. But boy, the fight that there used to be about fast.
That was a big one.
Yeah, oh, but obviously now nobody cares about that anymore. So
except for Steve Barr, but yeah.
Well, no, Dawn of the Dead put the nail in that coffin, as far as I'm concerned. Those are badass fast zombies, and there's no doubt those were zombies. Yes.
Yeah. All right, Paik Allen. I think it is. Ben will be upset with me, but I think 28 days, weeks later counts too. Loosely, but counts. Paik, friendship over. just kidding. The definition of zombie is an undead creature that is reanimated. So Romero zombies are the best fit, obviously. However, undead isn't a word, or really wasn't before zombie lore, as far as I know. All right. Reanimated, whatever. But I take it to mean that the person within is no longer living as themselves, and reanimating is them becoming a new creature. There's no cure for the things in 28 days or the cordyceps infected in The Last of Us. Girl with all the gifts. Okay, I haven't seen it, so I was not.
It's the same thing. It's cordyceps as well.
Okay. That person is gone, and a new zombie creature has permanently taken its place. So to be pedantic and literal, sure, you have several reasons to say technically they aren't zombies, and I won't argue it. That's it. I'm just going to end it right there. but for all intents and purposes, they are zombies in a wide sense of the word, and it's also perfectly fine to say they are, and there's my political answer. Hello.
Wishy-washy.
I am loving just this may be the most pedantic discussion.
It's great.
Ever had. Hey, on
this
a
is the most podcasty podcast we've ever
totally
done.
Totally made up thing ever.
This has been a long time coming too, but that's why I'm having so much fun with it.
That's what I always used to tell people too, is that all this stuff is made up. So it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And yet I would actually, thing is, I used to have, Jason knows, I used to have people yell at me online and in person, the 28 days later doesn't count, how dare you, you're no expert, and then block me. it's like, what is this taking from your life, sir?
Well, I've got a PhD in zombology.
And so what's your Twitter
so
listeners can, no, I don't.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. I just had to. This is killing me. I love this so much. Okay. Robert Parker says, I'd vote no, but I'd also vote that it doesn't matter. The end result is effectively the same, right?
Yes.
Pretty much. Yes.
Well, in episode 317,
Fred Wiesinger says, I love the creativity on The Walking Dead and its spinoffs and having each community come up with some new name for zombies, biters, walkers, dum-dums, munchers, etc. It's great to have a generic term for the union of all those names, plus others used in non-Walking Dead universe. And it would be hard to get all of us to agree on anything else besides zombies. Undead kind of works, just doesn't feel right somehow. So I vote for sticking with zombies. Or when Lucy is around, Zeds. Well, I love that, Fred, except it kind of misses the point because we're just trying to talk about the difference between the zombies in The Walking Dead and in The Last of Us. But yes, I like to call them Zeds.
Well, he's right that it would be hard to get us all to agree on anything.
That's a good point.
I'm just going to stop the end of that sentence.
Okay, forgive me if I mispronounce this. It's Josh. I believe it would be Chijanovic, but if it isn't, then I'm sorry. I'd say yes, it's a zombie show.
You got a yes.
I got a yes. For me, one of the defining characteristics that makes a Zed show scary is that if the wrong set of circumstances occur, those you love become the thing you fear. You also have the added paranoia of, is this injury minor or did they get bit? Mm-hmm. That being said, I would say that these are infected humans rather than give them the moniker of zombie. Would you call 28 Days Later a zombie movie? Yes.
Yes.
What about I Am Legend? Yes.
Yes.
I think there is more than just the variety of enemy that define a zombie property. One thing also that's fascinating about this that I really think is genuinely great is that besides our conversation, which was just like us going back and forth about this. Even these answers, they start with, I think, yeah. I say yes, I say no. And then at the end, but you know, I can see where, you know.
I know.
That's where we're all at on this. Right. I got to say, that's, I think his name is Josh Savanovich.
Savanovich?
Josh, okay. I think so. He was a listener, and he would write in all the time to Under the Comic Covers. Josh, I still remember. And Grace always was able to pronounce his name, and I never could.
Awesome. And okay. Josh actually fell off of The Walking Dead years ago, so he's back for The Last of Us, and I'm glad to see you back.
Good to see you, Josh.
Nice. And not to start another debate, but I Am Legend, I don't know if I qualify that. No,
that's not, those are vampires.
They're vampires, right? That'll be another exactly.
podcast. They're vampires.
Yeah.
And ultimately, he is
Jason, had me back he's for that episode.
The monster. He's the monster. Yeah.
That's true. Will Smith is the monster.
Yes.
I used to teach that. I used to teach the ending of that. I used to teach media literacy courses where I'd use the end of that movie, the theatrical ending,
yeah,
and the original ending, and it would like blow everybody's mind because nobody ever bothered checking out the original.
Oh, you mean the good ending? Mm.
The good ending, yeah. And then I'd say, look at how much Americana they packed into 5 seconds in one screen of this theatrical ending, this post 9/11 ending here, and yeah, so.
All right. So Derek O'Neill, I don't think so. I think it's a post-apocalyptic survival story with infected monsters.
Very succinct.
Derek. Oh, another Under the Comic Covers listener. Love you, Derek. Miss you, buddy.
He's a Wilhelm listener, too, which is great.
Awesome. He's just a listener. Damn.
He's also a host.
All right. Matthew Randall. I have so many more thoughts on zombies and what that word means now than I used to. But I think my opinion is the same. If they want to call them zombies, they can, and I won't be mad about it. If they don't, that's fine too, and I might still sometimes call them zombies as shorthand. Not as fun a hill to die on as a staunch yes or no, but it's how I feel.
That was the perfect final.
That's a good one to end it on, yes. Milk toast, good on both. No, I'm kidding.
It's kind of the theme of this podcast. All right, so now we're gonna go through several of you guys sent in your zombie / infected sounds, and we'll go through. Here's Anwen. So clicker. That's
I think she's blowing bubbles.
They do kind of go like they're struggling, yeah. You know, in Last of Us. Here's Kara. Here's Monica Heron. That sounds pretty Walking Dead, right?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's pretty good, though. That was a nice one. I like that.
Here's Bill from the UK.
Oh, hell yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
He's still going. Uh-huh.
Nice. Shiv that up, motherfucker. Shiv
it. Right now. Get it. Here's Pat Folda. Sounds like me after a couple beers.
I was just going to say, a lot of it sounds like indigestion.
Here's Lara, Willy Swink. I can totally picture her as a zombie doing that now. Here's Jonathan Olivares.
On there.
Nice.
The that border, right?
It's pretty good.
Here's Wyman Owen. Pretty good.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Here's Steve Brown. That was awesome.
Little Tasmanian devil there.
Thomas Sloniker, who was the zombie, if you heard Randy Stevenson's rendition of that Rent song, 144,000 minutes or whatever, but with zombies. It was so good. Anyway, Thomas was the zombie in that. He sent in one sample for each type. Here's the bloaters. Here's the clicker. That's good. Here's the runner. Damn good, Thomas.
That's nice.
Here's a stalker. You got three more. Here's Tom Kenny. Here's Greg Schwamm, stalker. Greg's wife's like, "You all right in there?"
The best part about some of these two is knowing some of these people and being unable to hear them. Like,
that's rad.
Yeah.
And last one, here's Randy Stevenson.
Oh wow.
Click, click, click. I'm a zombie guy.
That was the best one. Oh,
that's going in for sure to the intro. Yeah, you got to listen to that Rent song that Randy did.
Oh my God, play it for you. So I'm not going to lie, it had me in the first half on that one.
All right. Well, thank you so much for writing in, everybody, and for sending in your zombie-esque sounds. Our next episode, we promise this time, will be on The Last of Us Season 1, Episode 1.
If anyone listening wants to write in or leave us a voice message for The Last of Us, you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com.
And as always, we'll put up a post at facebook.com/podcastica where you can leave comments about the episode.
Yeah, and before we go, I just definitely want to thank you, Arnold, for joining us. I hope you enjoyed that. Very much enjoyed having you on.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. It was good meeting you guys, and I'm always happy to chat about this stuff, so it was fun.
Very cool. Is there anything you would like to promote or tell people how to find you?
My wife and I have our own podcast at ghoulsinthehouse.com where we talk about all horror and sci-fi movies and whatever we're watching. And I've been doing a comic strip for the last year called Pickles and Bean, which you can find at picklesandbean.com. It is not what you would expect if you hear that I'm called Doctor of the Dead and talk about zombies. There are no zombies in it. There's a cute little bird and a cute little dog and lots of other cute little things.
That's awesome.
And find my publishing company at atbpublishing.com. And again, thanks so much for having me on.
Absolutely. And I'll put all those links in the show notes so people can check it out. Last, I just mentioned that this episode's made possible by Patreon supporters like Liz Irwin, who've pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCavassi. So thank you to Liz. If you go to our Patreon and do that, you can get ad-free episodes of each episode along with a bunch of other cool perks. All right, that is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Fred Weisinger.
Click, 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 click. I'm a zombie guy.